Now, for those of us who has a bank account, if you have a standing order and there's not enough in there to pay a bill, your bank will write you and tell you there was insufficient funds in your account. Is that right? You can talk to me. You can. But what I don't like, even though the bank doesn't pay it, they will charge you. Hey. But my grace is sufficient. Now, some of you will be saying, who is this chap up here? What? I will just give you a testimony of how I got saved. I was on my way to the pub one night. I hope you'll not mind me saying what I have to say. I was on my way to the pub one night. My favorite hobby was wine, women, and song. That was me. My grace is sufficient. And as I was walking along, I heard a voice from heaven, Ollie, Ollie, Ollie. And I looked around, I couldn't see anyone. And about 5 minutes after that, a car drove up, coming in the same direction as I was walking. And I heard he beeped the horn. And I looked, and it was an old friend who I knew in the world. And he said, hello, Ollie. Now, don't forget, he hasn't seen my face because he is coming in the same direction. So he wound the window down and he said to me, would you like to come to a prayer meeting? I said, a who? I said, you can't be serious. So he then explained to me that the Holy Spirit, but I didn't understand. So he said, he pleaded. He said, look, come. He said, I know you well. I said, but how did you see me? And obviously, he told me things I didn't understand, like the Holy Spirit led him, and he should not have been on that road, neither should I. So I said to him, okay, then I'll come along with you. So I went to the prayer meeting. And the place was full. There was one seat. There was people sitting on the stairs. There was one seat, and this seat was in front the mirror. Oh boy. And this fella, me, I was examining myself. I felt good. And the preacher preach some Psalm 11, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That scared me because I knew I wasn't going to heaven. And anyway, she went on and she did she went off at a tangent, and she said, "There's a young man here who need to come to Jesus." The Bible says, I know your plans. Because that particular night, my plans were to go to watch my friends play darts, get this young lady to pick me up from the pub to come to my house. And this preacher exposed me. And she laid her hands on me. I tell you, we no longer preach sin anymore. Sin is excluded from the message. And she about, you know, anyway, she went, there's a young man here. At that time I was young and handsome, just as I am now. And she laid her hands on me. And she said, Father, in the name of Jesus. No, I felt in my spirit it was me. So I went and I put my knees, down to the ground. And she said, she prayed. And she prayed a prayer, one of what I would call an old-fashioned prayer. And she said, God. And every time she mentioned Jesus, she stamped her foot. She said, Jesus, put a hook in this young man's jaw and draw him out. No, I didn't understand what that meant. And she was telling God to pull tighter. She was instructing God what to do. God, you're not pulling good. Pull him, pull him, pull him. And all the time she said, but I think I felt the pull. Seriously, but I didn't understand what she was doing. And she kept on telling God to pull harder. And it went on that she said, he's going to meet a young lady today. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will let this young lady stay in her bed, not his. Now, I'm telling you, you see, I'm a different type of preacher. I will tell you as it is. And anyway, she laid her hands on me, and all the time she's telling God to draw me nearer. Put the hook, the hook isn't good. She's telling God that he isn't doing it right. Pull, God. No, she didn't say a pull. Draw him out of sin, God. And that night, my grace is sufficient. So I went back. That night I went home, I went to bed, and the young lady that I was supposed to meet, hello, Ollie, I'm sorry I wasn't able to come tonight. I overslept. Exactly what the lady prayed. She also prayed, let this young man be a preacher. Let him evangelize. Lord, teach him your ways. Allow him to go to Bible. And every time she preached, she said, let him travel the world and preach. Make him an evangelist. Allow him to go to the Bible school. I'm sorry. And learn your word. Do you know what, church? Everything that lady said, it came to pass. I've preached in America. I've preached in South Africa. I've preached in India. Oh, boy. When I came back from India, my wife and I had to argue, because I love India. I felt like selling up my house and moved to India. But obviously, that wasn't God's will. So everything she said, it came to pass. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. My grace is sufficient. Your money in your account might not be sufficient, but God's grace is. So I want to speak this afternoon on a topic of my grace is sufficient. Now, the Apostle Paul was a lot of people do not accept a lot of what Paul said. And I heard a preacher once said, Paul didn't say anything. Or Peter didn't say anything. It was God. The Bible tells us, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, all scripture is given by who? By Paul? No. By Ali? No. All scripture is given by, answer me, church. So I refuse to name the person who write it. Now, I used to be a shop steward in the company that I work. And for me to let the employees know what was happening, I had to get the secretary to type it out. But who sent it? Me. So when God says something, when Paul says something, it has nothing to do with Paul. Paul was in obedience to God's word. Now, one of the things that I noticed is that Paul makes three distinctive points in this scripture. Paul said he met a man. He said he knew a man 14 years earlier, so he knew the man. Yet still, he could not. He said he didn't know if it was in heaven, third heaven, but he knew the man. Now, I believe that Paul was dreaming. That's my belief, yeah? Paul gave a very good description of the man, but he never saw him. But what Paul said was this. Paul said that when you come to know God, we preach, or when you come to know God, he will give you an aircraft. When I first came to know the Lord, I wanted a Harley Davidson. That's a motorbike. But Paul said, when you come to know the Lord, number one, a persecution. When I was in sin, I never had persecution. Since I got saved, I've had enough persecution to last me till Jesus come. What is persecution? Persecution is when people speak against you. And I'm sure there are some of us here who, when they were in sin, they never had any persecution. Everything went well. Your bank account looked sweet. Every girl that you chatted up, you were successful. When you are in sin, things go very smooth. Do you know why? Satan wants to keep you where you are. When I was in sin, I did what I wanted. But now I come to Jesus, I have to live in obedience. And it's not easy to obey some of the things that the Bible tells us. A lot of our young men are being killed. Stop. I saw on the news a young girl of 8, they searched her handbag. And when, not her handbag, her school bag. And what did they find in her school bag? A 6-inch blade. They asked her, why are you carrying this blade? She said, for protection. But let me, a political, and I ask God to help me to keep it out of the pulpit. They have taken the Bible out of the schools. If you dare take a Bible into the school, you're in trouble. They've taken the Bible out of the hospitals. I was in hospital some years ago, and every ward had a Gideon's. You try to find one now in it. They have decided to take it out. Every one of our government officials are Freemasons. Did you know that? Our prime minister now is a Freemason. And I've studied it. I'm very political, but I ask God to keep me quiet. The second thing that Paul says was a necessity. My Bible tells me, my God shall supply all my needs. I have no necessity. The only thing I need is more of God. And when God says he will supply, the Bible tells me that God cannot lie. But when the lady at the prayer meeting was praying, I said, but that's a funny prayer. But then I went home and I checked. Do you know we can command God? You say, Brother Ali, what are you saying? I'm telling you why. If you look at the book of Exodus, I think it's from Exodus chapter 15 onwards, God had promised to deliver the Hebrew boys, or the Hebrew children. And they disobeyed. And they went their own way. My young, you did an excellent work today on that scripture. They disobeyed God. And God called Moses and said to Moses, you know what? These people are an ungrateful generation. I will wipe them out. 6 million. The Bible tells me, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade all men. God can be like a terrorist. If you don't believe me, read it. So Moses then said to God, God, no, you can't do that. No, God, you're wrong. You can't do that. What was his reason? You see, when you tell God something, you must have a reason. God said to Moses, Moses, I will kill off everyone. Moses said, no, 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 no. Hold it, God, hold it a minute. If you do what you say you will do, all the ites, the Jebusites, the Hamathites, the heathen will say, because you could not take them over the River Jordan, you killed them. So God, yeah, you can't do it. And God said, Moses, I accept you. So when you pray, God will accept it if you have a reason. Actually, he said, come, let us reason. We can reason with God. But God already knew the answer, but he was trying to see if Moses knew what God was like. The greatest, outside of Jesus, the greatest man that ever lived is Moses. Moses and me had something in common. We both have a stammer. So I can understand him. When God gave the commandment to Moses, it wasn't his anger, it was his stammer. And people say, well, we are no longer under the law. A lot of my friends, now since I came to the 7 days there, oh, he's gone into heresy. Boy, this brother, because I used to preach a lot at our church. Oh boy, I'm surprised. This man, like he seemed to have gone out of the way. I said, no, I'm now under way. And I once asked a very close friend of mine, we were very close. And she said to me, we are no longer under the law. I said, should we commit adultery then? Because I'm quite open. Oh, no, 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 no. The Bible says, I said to her, it also says in the commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath. That's the law too. So do you know what I get to understand if you break one law, you might as well forget the whole 9. And he said, I am the Lord God. I change not. So if God doesn't change, and what he says, and another thing as well is that Moses did not write the Ten Commandments. God did. The Bible tells me that the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments. And I worked it out. I'm not a carpenter. I'm an engineer. You cannot nail a plaque, you know, concrete to wood. Because everyone thinks, oh, the law is nailed to the cross. You can't. The other 64 laws that Moses wrote, which you mustn't mix this with that and so on, those were the traditional laws. Nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with God. We need to learn what God said and what he didn't say. And Moses was a great man. Moses was so great that God refused to let. There have been millions and millions and millions of people trying to find where God put Moses. But I believe that if people knew where Moses was buried, they will make, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah. Nobody knows where he's buried. And Moses lived to 120. I said, God, I'm heading for that figure. Moses had a stomach. I got one, and I'm going like that. I am the Lord God. I change not. Number three was, number three is, distress. Now, if you watch the news, every Dick, Tom, Harry from 8 to 88 have mental illness, distress. Now, this is a personal. When I preach, I like to tell people my opinion and also what the Bible says. If you can find mental illness in the Bible, let me see. I believe in demonic possession. Now, I'm not saying that there cannot be some sort of illness. Now, if you study the word about the man in the graveyard, now if it were 20,024, they will say that he needs a psychiatrist and he has a mental illness. Jesus never spoke about mental illness. Jesus said he was demon possessed. There is a guy in the papers, he killed about 20 people and he got life. But he employed a solicitor. You know, when I first got saved, I wanted to be a lawyer. But I couldn't be a lawyer. I can't lie enough. And I can speak from experience. I had to go to court once. And I told the truth. The lawyer said to me, if you see what happened, you will go to prison. But if you do what I tell you, which was a lie, you will be set free. I am the Lord God. I change not. Distress. My Bible tells me, I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is what? Brother Artie can't go mad. My wife might agree with that. I can't go mad because my mind is stayed on what God said. Anyway, with this man who killed, he got life and he appealed. And he employed a solicitor who got a psychiatrist to tell the courts that he was mentally disturbed. And he got 14 years. My grace is sufficient. And the final point is, distress. 80% of the world's population is in distress. We are worried about tomorrow. Church, I want to encourage you. We do not hold tomorrow. God does. I am fortunate enough to be standing at this pulpit on the 27th of July 2004. I died for 4 days. Now, I'm not going to be disrespectful to doctors. Doctors lie. If I take a notice of the doctor, my wife would be at the cemetery today, putting down some flowers. But my grace is sufficient. The doctor had almost got me down as an end of life, a procedure. My life had just started. And I said to God, I said to the doctor, I don't need that. I had to even sign a form. And this is what the form said: male, female, gender. What's the word gender? From the time I could look down, I knew who I was. I mean, I tell you something, we are coming up with some statements, and no disrespect. Our universities are teaching. My son had an opportunity to go to Eton. Eton now is £140,000 a year. And this is how long, John, ago? Right. And he refused. All he had to do was to get his hair cut and his toilet things. And he, I was proud. I was ready to go around telling everybody my son is at Eton. I had my testimony ready. My son said no. He said, Dad and Mom, if you only knew what they teach, you would be surprised. But my grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter. And I want to speak to the young men. It doesn't matter what the world says. His grace is sufficient. When the lady preached, she said something like, "And God, give him a good wife." And at that time, I didn't have a wife on my mind. I had girlfriends, but not wife. But this woman, this lady is now praying that God will give me a wife. I said, "Lord, have mercy." That has come to pass. God has blessed me with a Proverb 31 wife. A wife who loves her husband. A bit stubborn, but she loves her husband. My grace is sufficient. You don't need to worry. We are taught how to worry. I had never been a worrier, never. I don't know how to worry. But now I know that His grace is sufficient. Put your hands together for Jesus. I'm going to come down now, but I just want to just sing you a song. And this is concerning what Paul wrote. I have sent you to the Gentiles. Paul, I've sent you to Rome. And I've sent you to preach, Paul, till I call you home. You will go to Damascus, to a place that goes straight. There you meet Ananias, and there you must wait. Do not be deceived, Paul, for I am with thee. I've made the lame to walk. I've made the blind man to see. I am the El Shaddai. I'm the great that I am. Where you say you can. Paul, Jesus said, "Yes, you can." Do not be deceived, Paul. So dry up your tears. You'll be preaching my gospel for many long years. I am the El Shaddai. I'm the great that I am. Where you say you can fall, Jesus say, "Yes, you can." The final verse. So dry up your tears, Paul, for I am with thee. I've made the lame to walk, the blind man to see. I am the Almighty, the great that I am where you say that you can fall. I said, yes, you can. 3 days has gone by, Lord, and I still cannot see. But here is your disciple, and he's praying for me. He said, Brother Paul, the greater I am has sent me to heal you, and that is the I am. Put your hands together for Jesus.